from deep inside your radio.
So, you probably know this. The government this week announced that airline pilots may not carry guns, rejecting the demands of thousands of pilots who petitioned for the right to keep firearms in the cockpit as a last line of defense against hijackers. Transportation Security Administration Director John McGaw, not the crime-fighting dog, but close, told the Senate it's more important to keep pilots focused on flying. Other steps are being taken to protect them. He's still considering proposals to let pilots and crew members carry stun guns or collapsible metal batons, and to practice twirling them, perhaps. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are left with the inescapable conclusion that a commercial jetliner at cruising altitude of approximately 30,000 feet is the only place in the continental United States that the Bush administration believes is less safe with the presence of guns. Hello, welcome to the show.
Cute little poodle. was all inside your head, she said to me. The answer's easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. It must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Leave your lover, dog.
She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself.
Say it again, say it again.
At the risk of sounding crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. Just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. Don't need a decoy, Roy. Just set yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee. And set yourself free. She said it grieves me so to see you in such pain. I wish there was something that I see you smile again.
I said, thank you, baby. I really appreciate that, you know.
But will you just please explain? There must be 50 ways.
Options like a mother.
She said, why don't we both just sleep on it tonight?
Uh-huh.
And I believe in the morning, you'll begin to see the light. And then she kissed me. And I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Yo, sing it again, dog. Come on.
50 ways to leave your lover.
Bring the hook,
just
girl.
Slip out the back, Jack.
Bounce.
Make a new plan, stay.
Scream.
You don't need a decoy, Roy. Just set yourself free. Hop on the bus, girls. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key.
I have eyes for you to give you dirty looks. I have words that do not come from children's books. There's a trick with a knife I'm learning to do. But everything I've got belongs to you. I've a powerful anesthesia in my fist, and the perfect wrist to give your neck a twist. Hammerlock holes, I've mastered a few. But everything I've got belongs to you. Share for share, share alike. You get struck each time I strike. Me for you, you for me. I'll give you plenty of nothing. I'm not yours for better, but for worse. And I've learned to give the well-known witch's curse. I've a terrible tongue and a temper for two. Everything I've got belongs to you. at night we'll sleep and sleep, sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep, sleep and sleep, sleep and sleep. I'll give you plenty of nothing. I'm not yours for better but for worse. And I've learned to give the well-known witch's curse. I've a terrible tongue and a temper for two, but everything I've got, ooh, it's not a lot, but everything I've got belongs to you.
From the edge of America, from the home of the... Yes, Froggy goes a-courtin'. From the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show program. For Memorial Day weekend, and so is the Olympics. We're going to talk about the Olympics in a couple contexts today. I know it's not an Olympic year. Best time to talk about it, really. And first context is the Olympic game deal a security threat? Of course, this is a new age. Everything has changed. We know that. So we must consider the fact that the Olympic Games may be, in fact, a security threat. Evidence? I've got it right here. Look at this. It's right in my... Oh, you can't see it because I'm doing this to it. More than 50 athletes and administrators who came to Australia for the Olympic Games last year liked the place so much, they're apparently still there. Some of them appear to have deliberately joined their country's Olympic teams as part of a planned one-way trip to Australia. Their teammates reported they had even failed to turn up at events during the Games. The Australian Department of Immigration says its electronic matching system shows that 57 people who arrived for the Games on a special visa nearly 2 years ago have still not left. Six from Spain, five from the UK, three from Tonga, three from Russia, three from the United States. We're a security threat to Australia. Look at that. We overstayed. France, Japan, South Korea, India, Uganda, and Ukraine had two oversteers each. The rest came from 25 other countries. They joined the estimated 60,000 overstayers living in Australia without permission. Generally, the highest number of visa overstayers in Australia come from Britain, the United States, China, the Philippines, Korea, Japan, Malaysia, Thailand, and Germany. We're a security threat, ladies and gentlemen, to Australia. Once overstayers find work and settle into communities, it costs millions of dollars to find them and send them home. The year before last, 9,054 overstayers were apprehended and deported from Australia. Some of those who came for the Olympics were granted visas to extend their stays, but then disappeared when the visas ran out. There's no record of them leaving. The department was liaising. Come on, it's not a verb. According to this Australian newspaper, it is, with the National Olympic Committees of other countries and trying to track down the missing athletes and administrators. Spokesman for the Immigration Ministry said some may have got attached to the teams with no intention of going home. They didn't attend events and appear somehow to have wrangled a position as a way of getting into Australia. Of course, we would say wangled. But that's us. So think twice before we bid on an Olympic Games again. I think the Olympic Committee is now requesting table stakes of $300,000 from cities just to say, please, can we please come? Can we please have the Games? But even so, if you get the Games, all it means is some people get to stay in your country that maybe will end up going to flight schools. I don't know. Southern California, whence this program originates, boasts Santa Monica as the home of the homeless, but in Denver, Colorado, this week, an advertising firm is handing out signs to panhandlers with a plug for the advertising company. Homeless advocates say this trivializes the plight of those on the streets. Laminated signs with snappy messages such as, quote, at least I'm not spamming your email, and, quote, hell, it beats a cubicle, unquote, have begun replacing cardboard placards normally waved by panhandlers and motorists. David Wakabayashi an advertising CEO, handed out the signs this week. Panhandlers are not paid to hold the signs. Kind of synergistic if you think about it, he says. We're an ad agency, and in this tough market, we have to do something to get attention. One of five panhandlers refused the signs, according to Wakabayashi. He said the stunt was designed to help the homeless. Bobby Harden, a 27-year-old homeless person, had good luck when she used a sign that read, "The market sucks, but I offer a high return on your investments, good karma." She said a woman stopped and handed her a $20 bill, saying, "I need all the good karma I can get." Another homeless person said the only response he got to the sign was negative. Some guy yelled out, "Get a job." They weren't paid to hold. You just wonder what the advertising CEO told the homeless people to get them to hold up those signs instead of, you know, the usual, "We'll work for food." No, here, this'll get you more food. A senior Microsoft executive told the federal court this week that sharing information with competitors could damage national security and even threaten the U.S. war effort in Afghanistan. Oh, I'm scared now. He later acknowledged some Microsoft code was so flawed it could not be safely disclosed. It is no exaggeration to say that the national security is implicated by the efforts of hackers to break into computing networks. Computers, including many running Windows, are used throughout the United States Department of Defense and by the armed forces of the United States in Afghanistan and elsewhere, according to Jim Allchin. That's right, Allchin. I'm just reading it. Swear to you, I didn't make it up. So please don't make Microsoft tell anybody about anything, because it could, you know, the national security, the Afghanistan, the war, the thing. You've seen this, I'm sure. A new breed of naked chicken created by scientists in the search for tastier, healthier poultry has angered animal rights campaigners. At least they didn't make the chickens hold up signs for an advertising agency. Yet, the red-skinned broiler could become a supermarket success because it's designed to grow faster and contain less fat than normal chickens. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. If it's got less fat, it's got less taste. No matter what it is, no matter where it is. That's just the rule. That's just the iron law. If it's got less fat, it's got less taste. Thin critics have less taste than fat ones. It's even true there. It will also be cheaper to produce this chicken, since its lack of feathers means there's no need to pluck it. The new genetically modified breed was reared by Israeli genetics expert Avigdor Kahaner of the Rehovot Institute near Tel Aviv. He said it would grow faster in hot weather because it was not prone to overheating like normal chickens. I guess they overheat because of the feathers. Their growth rate drops when they get too warm. He says that's why the growth rate of broilers is significantly lower in hot seasons, and why poultry meat is expensive in hot countries. Well, they need camels. What the hell are you doing with the chickens? They put camels there for a reason, sir. Mr. Connor claims the birds produce leaner meat because no feathers means less subcutaneous fat, and farming them would be less damaging to the environment because poultry farmers would not have to use ventilation to prevent chickens from overheating. He says feathers are a waste. The chickens are using feed to produce something that has to be dumped. Yeah, those inefficient chickens. It's a red-looking chicken, of course, because under the feathers. Who knew what they had under the feathers? It's red. My favorite story of the week comes from Dallas, Texas. Several employees of the Coca-Cola company have accused the soft drink maker of repackaging nearly out-of-date soda cans and bottles and then reselling them at stores in minority neighborhoods. Coca-Cola officials deny the allegations and say the allegations were not brought to their attention internally. I think that means inside the company, not inside their digestive systems. One worker who made deliveries to stores in predominantly white and black Dallas neighborhoods said the practice was widespread and well-known when he started working as a Coca-Cola merchandiser in 1993. Llewellyn Hamilton said so-called near-dated items were shipped from white neighborhood stores and sold at a discount in predominantly black and Hispanic stores. They lower the price and ship them to the black and Hispanic area stores, he told the AP. It was common knowledge that we'd recycle it to that neighborhood. He said about to expire 2-liter containers of Coke that sold for $1.19 were marked down to 69 cents. I thought it was strange, he said. The customers knew it was something they had to drink right away. What in Coke would go stale? Rick Gillis, division vice president and general manager for Coca-Cola Bottling of North Texas, said after a newspaper reporter brought the allegations to their attention about 2 weeks ago, company officials conducted an internal investigation and spoke with everyone involved in the supply chain. We believe without a doubt that these allegations are totally without merit, Gillis said. Hamilton, the worker in the company, said officials knew of the repackaging and did nothing to stop it. You'd get those, don't ask no questions, he said. Kenneth Newsom, a dairy manager at a Sack and Save store, said Coke merchandisers took near-dated soda off the store shelves and repackaged it in the store's back room. The old soda was also put in the store's vending machine, said Newsom, who first noticed the repackaging about 5 years ago. Hamilton, the Coca-Cola worker, merchandiser, now works a new route delivering drinks to 5 grocery stores in predominantly white suburbs. There, he said, the policy on about-to-expire soft drinks is much different. If it gets within a month of going out of date, we ship it out. The aging soda is then returned to the bottler, he said. Charlie Rose had no comment. He was not available. I don't know whether he had any thoughts about the subject, but don't bother me, I believe was the... And, ladies and gentlemen, I have told you on this broadcast about the little secret of TiVo, which is that TiVo, the digital video recorder, the hard disk video recorder that is so popular now, getting more popular, every time it downloads the updated television schedule in the middle of the night via that phone connection that you have to your TiVo machine, it is uploading every click of your remote. Now, a lot of guys shrug and say, yeah, so what? I don't care if anybody knows that. This week in the New York Times, fresh from the big controversy over the FBI and the CIA not being able to, quote, connect the dots, unquote, on all the fragmentary information pre-9/11, was an article that failed to connect some other dots. I'm just going to interrupt myself to say there was a piece in the New York Times this week. The FBI had asked 2 websites to take off videotapes of the Daniel Pearl assassination that were on those websites. And the FBI's explanation for insisting that the websites remove them was that the videotape violated federal obscenity laws. Which now explains what the guys at the FBI are doing in their spare time. But anyway, back to the New York Times story about advertisers getting, apropos of that Jamie Kellner quote that you heard here weeks ago, finally the New York Times catches up to it. Advertisers and television broadcasters are concerned about the TiVo effect of people skipping commercials. And in the same story, the reporter, quote unquote, quotes TiVo statistics, which you heard here also, about TiVo users replaying during the Super Bowl, when they recorded the Super Bowl, replaying the Britney Spears Pepsi commercial more even than the game-winning field goal. The reporter failed to connect the dots that how did TiVo have that information? And what else was TiVo planning to do with that information? Well, of course, what TiVo is planning to do with it is to sell it to advertisers. That's why the advertisers have backed off in their long-threatened or early-threatened legal action against the digital video recorder people. But now, that's all background. That's all scene-setting, ladies and gentlemen. Now comes news. Users of the TiVo digital video recorder, this is from Britain, Users of the TiVo digital video recorder have reacted angrily to a new sponsorship feature that automatically records certain programs, ads, and other promotional material. One of TiVo's more innovative features is its ability to recommend programs based on viewing habits. But viewers in the United Kingdom were surprised this week to find that the second episode of a little-known BBC sitcom, Dossa and Joe, had been recorded without their knowledge and added to the system's main menu screen. They were even more surprised to find out they won't be allowed to delete the program for a week, and that more sponsored recordings are on the way. You thought you owned that machine, didn't you? You thought you'd bought that hard drive. TiVo defended the new advanced content feature, insisting that it doesn't adversely affect a viewer's usage of the system. Sponsored programs are recorded on a reserved section of the hard disk, and only if the viewer isn't watching or recording something else. Andrew Kreschi, vice president of TiVo Europe, says this feature provides an innovative new way for networks and programmers to deliver interesting, new, or exclusive content to TiVo subscribers. We hope over time the value of the content provided will outweigh any perceived inconvenience this creates. Unquote. Some viewers have complained the feature amounts to a hijacking of TiVo boxes. Others have been quick to dub it spam TV. Kreschi continues, the possibilities for delivery of content are interesting. Meanwhile, TiVo sponsorship in the United States, here where we live, has been introduced in a more commercial way this week. The system automatically recorded a video promoting Sheryl Crow's new album, along with two commercials for TiVo's distribution partner, Best Buy. These recordings were part of a strategy announced last week described by TiVo as, new word alert, advertainment. I'm gone. I'm so gone. Advertainment, ladies and gentlemen, that establishes, I'm still quoting now, far deeper communications with consumers. That's right, right up the old, what did Lyndon Johnson describe it? Bunghole. The move towards this more direct form of advertising, of course, is inevitable. Viewers own their set-top box. TiVo has free rein, however, to update the system software and add new features. The company has made no secret of its intention to market products directly to its 400,000 strong audience. Far deeper communications, ladies and gentlemen. How deep would you like it to go, really? And I think everything else can wait, except perhaps there is a group that's meeting in Hollywood, the Broadcast Protection Discussion Group, which is proposing that because digital technology is so damn untrustworthy in terms of piracy, they even want to regulate everything that converts analog information to digital form, so that if this actually came to pass, your cell phone would stop working if you were walking past a television set that was playing a copyrighted broadcast, or if you're walking by a stereo that had copyrighted music on it, because your cell phone would be tagged, your analog to digital converter inside the cell phone would be tagged, and it would have a warning that, uh-oh, copyrighted material nearby can't transmit. It's a wonderland, ladies and gentlemen, and it's coming closer every day.
I've been to the doctor, he says I'm all right. I know he's lying, I'm losing my sight. He should have examined the eyes of my mind. 20/20 vision and walking. my eyes wide open, I lay in my bed. If it wasn't for dying, I wish I was dead. But this is my punishment, death is too kind.
20/20 vision and walking around blind.
You just couldn't know her the way that I do. You say that she's wicked and maybe it's true. But there's one thing I do know, she's no longer mine.
20/20 vision and walking round by.
I've lost her, I've lost her, oh, what will I do? I bet you're not happy if she's there with you. The eyes of your heart will have trouble like mine.
20/20 vision and walking round blind. 20/20 vision and walking.
Coming up on the show, we'll test drive the brand new Mazda. Put it to the test.
Hey, Harry.
Ralph.
Could I grab a couple minutes of your fabulous show here?
Ralph the Dogging Computer, you are in an ebullient mood, should I say?
Dude, I'm higher than the pixel rate on the photos of Bill Gates, baby.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, Ralph, but I suspect that some computer I know has been downloading the Dell commercials featuring that kid overnight.
Bad call.
Really?
I got sexier fish to fry, if you know what I mean.
I think you mean Gary Glitter Country. Anyway,
know.
Ralph, what do we attribute the brightening mood?
Well, Harry, You know what joy and satisfaction I used to get from reading the Larry King columns
sure.
in USA Today.
Oh, yeah.
Back before they dumped it.
Yeah.
Well, a laptop I know tipped me off to the fact that the column has been brought back
really?
To life.
Really?
It now runs on the CNN website, ellipses and all.
So, I guess you're hinting in that delicately robotic way of yours that you'd like to read this week's Larry King column on the air for us here, Ralph? Is that...
Boy, what? Those cheerleaders sure can strike some fetching poses. I said fetching.
Okay, fine. I get the implied threat there, my friend. So you're going to read Larry's column. You'd like some music behind you, I presume?
Sure.
Okay.
Something electronic.
All right.
Perhaps something, I don't know, robotic.
Okay. Here's Ralph the Talking Computer reading from the CNN website, Larry King's column, which is called...
As usual, King's Things.
I should have known.
Hit it.
I'll cue the music, Ralph.
1. If he runs, Perfect Drift could win the Billmont Stakes on June 8. He looks like a natural 1.5-mile runner, to these weary, thoroughbred eyes. 2. Congratulations to the Paul restaurants on the opening of their 25th location, which is located in downtown Los Angeles.
That's where the location is located, huh? That's some good writing.
Do you mind?
Sorry.
And a salute to Gigi Del Maestro, the Paul's first manager in Southern California, lo those many years ago. 3. Spite.
What's up?
Hey.
What?
You know what we've never done here, dude?
What?
How about some echo, some Ralph verb on my vocalizing?
Some Ralph verb?
Yup.
Alright, let's try this.
Hello. Hello. Cool. 3. Spider-Man is a super movie with loads of gimmicks and great fun for the whole family. The special effects are sensational. 4. If I had to win 1 baseball game, I'd want Pedro Martinez to pitch it for me. The Red Sox star is in a class by himself. Point 5. Shaquille O'Neal commits a foul every time he drives to the basket. Since he's also fouled every time he drives, the question is, which occurred first? Point 6. I'm glad Bob Costas stayed on NBC. He belongs on that network even though they don't have baseball, his favorite sport. Point 7. Robin Williams makes for a terrific villain, in Insomnia. The new movie, starring Al Pacino and Hilary Swank. The more I think of the film, the better it gets. Point 8. Last Man Done, by Richard Picciotto, is the best of all the books about 9/11 currently in print. Picciotto is the highest ranking firefighter to survive the attack and he relates the events brilliantly. Point 9. My hunch is the Redskins will be more than okay than this year. All Steve Spurrier does is win. Congratulations to the New York Post's Michael Starr on the publication of his book, Art Carney, a biography. Carney was the best, second, banana, ever, and Starr tells his tale. Point 10. All pistachio nuts should come shelled. Every time I have a few, I break another thumb.
That would be a lot of thumbs, wouldn't it? Ralph the Talking Computer, reading Larry King's latest column from CNN's website. Ralph, that was sparkling.
Yeah, The verb was retarded.
I don't think you're supposed to say that anymore.
It's musician talk for good.
All right, well, you're hanging around with a hip crowd. I loved the column. I like the new feature that he numbers the items.
Yeah, kinda keeps you hooked.
Kinda. Ralph the Talking Computer, very happy to see that you've got your old avocation back. We'll look forward to more Larry King columns being read by you in the near future, I presume?
Oh, you bet your bit, Matt.
kind of walking the old George Schlatter line upstairs.
Yep.
Ralph the Talking Computer, thanks for being with us. We'll test drive that Mazda next week right here on the show.
What you want, you want me, yes you do. I see.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the controversy in Washington over who knew what, when, where, way, how, why has continued, although it has abated somewhat. The Democrats have backed off a little bit from earlier allegations and from earlier alligators. But there are still calls for an independent commission to investigate the intelligence failures in the pre-9/11 period. Increasingly, fingers are being pointed, those who still point fingers, pointing them at the FBI. This week, an FBI agent in, I believe, an FBI counsel in Minneapolis suggested that FBI officials in Washington had edited down intelligence from the field that suggested knowledge of some kind of impending terrorist thing rather than pass on the information or actually look into it. They just rewrote it. Sounds like Hollywood, doesn't it? And the president, meanwhile, President George W. Bush, rising above such matters, having had his surrogates out all week issuing warnings, some coming from the lips of Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, some coming from anonymous sources, my favorite, from an anonymous source at the FBI suggesting that there were plans for terrorist scuba divers. So we're awash in alerts over this holiday weekend. But as I say, the president, rising above such concerns or such matters, has flown off to a meeting. He had a successful summit, by all accounts, with Vladimir Putin in Moscow and St. Petersburg. Published reports indicated that Bush, an avid nicknamer, refers to Vladimir Putin as Pooty Poot. I'm not making that up, ladies and gentlemen. And he then flies on to France, where does President Bush, where he will be making a speech at the site of the Normandy invasion. It does make you think that somewhere along the line, maybe from St. Petersburg, a certain current president might be phoning up a certain former president. Coming up on.
Hey, 41. Guess where I'm calling from?
Inside the concert you were on your way to last time you called?
Yeah. It's so loud in here I can hardly hear myself trying to think.
Well, guess that's the global language today. Music that's too flaking loud.
Well, yeah, but now listen here. The Dixie Chicks can never be too loud or too thin, you know. Anywho.
He's singing about missing his home,
yeah,
which he left to become a big star.
Hey, who doesn't feel like that? So, look, 41, as I was saying in the limo,
yeah,
I think we had a pretty successful little summit-type deal here.
Yeah, just checking, 43. He said he didn't want an arms control treaty. You signed an arms control treaty with your friend Pooty, Poot, or Poot Poot, or whatever the hell you're supposed to call him. That wouldn't be flip-flop, would it?
Okay, two things here. Those nicknames that made it into the media, they were ridiculous. I never called a man any such thing. And second,
the president wants to know, are you in enjoying the show?
Oh, yes. Please tell Bootnick that I couldn't be enjoying it more if it was, regular music. Okay, where was I?
Flip-flop me there.
At a zero. This is a treaty like Bud Selig is a baseball commissioner. I believe I learned at the feet of the master when it comes to sacrificing unimportant positions to get what you really want.
Okay, well, just had to check, you know.
I know, but you know how much this takes me to say it, but you were right about our friend, Mr. Putin.
Hey, they trust an ex-spook to know an ex-spook.
Yeah, well, everybody around me kept saying, you know, he's KGB, you can't trust those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, on the other hand, you told me...
the truth. He's an oil man, and if there's one thing an oil man understands, it's another oil man.
Yeah, well...
what are they singing there, Charming Lady?
You know, I thought listening with half an ear, he was singing Chandra Levy, but that couldn't be right.
No.
But yeah, you know, remembering back when we first met Mr. Putin and I said I looked into his soul.
Yep.
What I saw there was a big oil patch. I'll tell you something, this year would be some city if they got, you know, just a little development money, because the way they build stuff here, a domed ballpark really would be a tourist attraction. I mean, the dome would...
yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know, we went to a circus today that was nothing at all like that Band of L.A. circus Laura dragged me to once. This thing had bears.
Yeah, so who's that performing?
No, I'll find that. Excuse me, Dimitri.
Yeah.
Who's this?
It's your father, no?
No, I mean, who's singing?
Ah, I'll check my itinerary.
Thanks. Whoever he is, he's a late middle-aged blonde white guy who looks like Michael Jackson would if he had some kind of sexual hang-up.
Okay, too much information.
Yeah, like 9/11.
Hey, listen, 43 didn't want to bring it up while you were ending the Cold War for the third time after Reagan and I did it. But just want to warn you, the Bureau is going to try to make the agency the fall guy in all of this.
Look, I know, and the agency's pointing fingers at the Bureau. You know, this game is more predictable than the hockey playoff and in the original Mighty Ducks movie.
Well, George Tenet didn't hide the Phoenix memo from you. Your friend John Ashcroft did, because Bob Mueller at the Bureau told him to.
Hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's wearing a skirt.
He represents the ambiguity of the human spirit.
I'll say, like 41, you know better than anyone that even if I had been shown the Phoenix memo, all I could possibly have done is make the Bureau check out all the Middle Eastern types enrolled in flight schools in the United States. And best case, that would have taken until Thanksgiving, so...
His name is Butterfly. He's a personal favorite of President Putin.
Well, no wonder. I mean, just look at him twirl. You know, it's like I'm watching a video here. Hey, anyway, Laura and I went to this museum they built out of a bunch of old houses they strung together. You know, they call it the Hermitage, but, of course, they clean everything up for a state visit. There wasn't a hermit in sight.
Yeah, just want to leave you with the thought that the agency is not going to put you in that kind of position. No memo is ever going to surface that was not shown to you. If it doesn't arrive, it doesn't leak.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you have to allocate anti-terrorism resources...
You know, this is amazing.
What? Is he wearing a hula skirt, man?
Not this guy. You.
Huh?
I can't tell whether you're giving me fatherly guidance or lobbying me on behalf of the agency.
Well, you know something? That's a good question for you to have in your noggin. There's your newfound maturity right there.
Well, okay, then. I guess our friend on the stage isn't the only amphibious one. But look now, bad news department. I don't think Putinsky here is going to enlist in our little Operation Get Rid of Saddam project.
Oh, he'll wink, though. Big wink.
Yeah.
Big enough to drive a truck into.
Well, I hope so, because when I face all these real Europeans at Normandy this week, there's not going to be a one who'll even go that far. You know, they're all going to have copies of the Bush New edition of the New York Post.
That is the most infuriating infuriating thing, that paper printing that headline.
Yeah, as if it's news that I knew something.
Yeah. So look, good luck at Normandy. Sure you got a good speech loaded into the prompter.
Oh, a clunker. Yeah, prompter guy was tearing up when we ran through it the other day. Yeah, I think we're fixing to move on to the ballet. I'll talk to you probably from Rome.
Okay, look, you're doing great, 43. Dems can't touch you.
I know it. Hey, you know what I'm going to tell Vladimir in the limo?
Mm.
According to the briefing, they keep changing the name of this city. It was Petrograd. It was Leningrad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, maybe next time they should change it to St. Petersburg. What do you think?
You give my love to Laura now.
Well, I will. And you say hi to Mom.
You bet.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, on the subject of the Olympics, let me read the trades for you, won't we? From Advertising Age, group dedicated to tapping world market with Olympics. I'll read it for you. I told you we were going to be back in the Olympics. Interpublic Group of companies McCann Erickson World Group has created a dedicated agency for Olympic marketing, with plans to open an office in the great untapped market of China. The agency's core business is Olympic consulting, contract negotiation, and sponsorships. It's called O5. Though it plans to seek its own clients, two of the Olympics' biggest sponsors are already two of McCann Erickson's biggest accounts, General Motors and, hello Charlie, Coca-Cola. The goal is clear. Use the next 6 years to lure as many companies as possible to the Interpublic stable in preparation for the Beijing Olympics, which many marketers are hoping will be the flashpoint that opens the communist nation of more than a billion to greater opportunities. China's still communist? China, said one Interpublic executive, is the carrot. Beijing looms as a monumental marketing spot. O5 is believed to be the first time an agency was established to be dedicated solely to Olympic sponsorship and marketing. O5 is so named for the five Olympic rings. The real catalyst was when the games were awarded to Beijing last July, said a spokesman. Said another. This indicates a big vote of confidence in the Olympic brand. Votes of confidence are what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, and as are brands when I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature. The Sea Crane Company is proud to support Le Show, offering long-range radios, antennas, and more for over 25 years. The Sea Crane Radio Light and Science Catalog is available online at ccradio.com or by calling 1-800-522-8863. And by the reading of the promotional announcement, you can tell that that's going to put the twist-off cap on this edition of Le Show. The program will return next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, blanketing the east coast of North America, and worldwide on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it'll be just like TiVo making you watch that British sitcom. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much, huh? The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. By the way, if you want to check out the playlist for this broadcast, it is available for virtually every one of these at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world, despite Denver as the home of the homeless.